Imagine leaving home for the summer, and while you're away, a terrible event occurs in the place you've left behind. That was the experience of some Washington neighbors of NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg. Her Tuesday series, No Place Like Home, continues.
Novelist Howard Norman, his wife, poet Jane Shore, and their teenage daughter spend their summers in Vermont. This year, they loaned their D.C. home to an acquaintance and her two-year-old son. This past July, in the Norman Shore's dining room, the woman committed suicide and took her little boy with her. Jane Shore.
At first, I was thinking, and we all were thinking as a family, if we could actually go back home and if we could actually live in the house because it had been violated.
So how was it? How did you then, Howard Norman, arrive at the idea that you, in fact, would go back to the house?
I think that happened fairly quickly, actually, is that we agreed relatively quickly that this was visited upon us. It wasn't something that whose source was our life, and that you don't let someone else's demon, if you will, chase you out.
Mm. Yeah. Jane, you wrote several poems related to this event, and one of them has the recurring line, "It was not our story, it was yours."
Not that you don't want to empathize, but there's a sense of having to separate yourself on some level from it. But also the idea of changing how you would feel was something that, you know, I knew that time would help us. Mm-hmm. But the sense of separating yourself, it's not our story, it's their story. We intersected with their story.
By sheer chance.
Yeah, and also there was another way to, if not objectify, then separate a little. It had an ethical dimension to it. When this happened, our dear friend David Mamet came over, and he said, "I want to tell you this old Jewish proverb. If you're walking down a road and you look up the road and you see a house on fire, if you're a good person, you are not allowed to wish that it's not your house." It's about comporting yourself with dignity, I think, in these situations. You don't want it to happen to anyone, but if it's visited upon your house, you have to go straight through it, think through it, feel your way through it, and you will come out the other side intact.
So how was it when the time came to leave Vermont, come back to D.C., to walk into your house?
Well, Howard went in first.
I did. I came down a couple days early. And I will say that was a powerful feeling to step into the house. The sense of relief at seeing the familiar life was quite astonishing, really, because one doesn't always like where one's imagination goes and the projection of it.
And so it was so much more terrifying to think about it while you were out of town than to go back to what still looked like your house.
It was entirely the house. It began a process of filling it up with music, light, flowers, friends, sleepovers, doing the things one always did.
The feeling also, I think, of re-entering the safe place, re-entering your nest. And for a woman, I mean, I feel like the house is the body, is the self. And somehow something very bad had happened there. We had all portraits in that room. And Howard hung up things, beautiful art of trees and things of life.
You changed the paintings on the walls of the room where
it happened.
Where it happened.
Yes.
Huh.
And it seemed as though those portraits were, you know, witnesses.
Yes.
It was Howard's idea. He just said, "I just don't want those pictures up anymore." Also, it was hard not to impose your own imagination about the gruesomeness of what happened onto this perfectly normal space now that was our house and our space.
Yes. So
I spent the night there, essentially, in the dining room.
The room where she killed herself.
Yeah, because I felt there was nothing heroic about that. I just felt that that's the only way. I knew I wasn't going to sleep, and I knew that that's the only way to really go straight through something is to just simply, I took my typewriter and sat there and typed letters to friends and just the house is our house.
Mm-hmm.
There's
so
no question.
Bringing back to it the life of your life.
Absolutely.
And yet these reminders, Jane, one of your poems, you are going through your house, you find a bar of soap with a thick strand of black hair on it. You are a redhead. these reminders there that someone lived there,
yes,
who was no longer alive.
I was thinking of, in my poem, the La Brea Tar Pit, sort of bringing up ancient bones, and suddenly things that you didn't expect to see began to come up.
Could you read that excerpt, please?
What do I do with the post-it note stuck on the fridge, reminding her to meet someone at Starbucks on Thursday, expecting to live that long? Is it wrong to brew her herbal teas, try her aromatherapies, her homeopathic cures, the rescue remedy she told me really worked? The amber bottle's full. Why waste it? So I deposited 4 bitter drops on my tongue.
How has your notion of home changed, or has it?
If anything, for me, it's deepened an engagement with a kind of gratefulness of having the home that we have. But I would be loath to credit such an untoward circumstance as affording a generous opportunity to think a different way. I think it's responding to adversity by deepening your engagement with your own life is something that I think one should always try to do.
Also, I still feel, because it's not so long a time,
a few months,
that whatever my notion of home is, it certainly has been shaken up. And also feeling like I need to fight to get it back. Whose home is this? You know, who possesses this place? When I walked back in the first time with our daughter, we were both pretty scared, I think, and not looking forward to it. But it was, again, Howard said, a sense of relief. We walked in and it was our place, and it was like as though we lived there. It was slightly different, but it was still our space.
Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Susan.
Howard Norman, a novelist, and his wife, poet Jane Shore. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.